If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
You're listening to Into the Starfield, otherwise known as the main theme from Starfield, released September 6, 2023, composed by Einan Zur.
What's up, BG Maniacs? Welcome to another episode of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. I, of course, am your host, Brian, and I'm not solo today. This is a normal episode. However, we're doing this episode kind of like we've done some of the episodes in the past, just to give myself a little bit of a break because I've been editing so many BG Mania, specifically episodes, the last week or so since we got behind. And I know we're front loading and dropping so many episodes now. But just to give myself a little bit of breathing room, this episode doesn't have as much chatter in it. But we'll talk about that real quick if you'd be so kind. Head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. It really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well. Patreon.com/RPG Era. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing. If you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continuing to listen to the episodes as they upload each week works wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers Jexax and Zandku. So yeah, this is a normal episode. This is not a bonus episode. We do have a bonus episode dropping this weekend, and Bedroth and I already recorded next week's normal episode as well. And as long as those two post on time, which this one going up on Thursday the 14th is a good sign that I'm still on pace So when those two drop, we'll be all caught back up. That should just be back to one episode a week. Every now and then, right, we throw in bonus episodes. So there's sometimes going to be two. But we've had, I want to say, 5 or 6 episodes drop the last 2 weeks. It's just because, again, we got behind. So I've been editing like crazy. And, of course, not the only show we have, right? Still have to edit Play on Arrival. Still have to edit Blood and Destroyers. So I just want a little bit of a break. So we're doing the Starfield episode. It's just me at the beginning, just me at the end. Kyle's going to join us here once we listen to our first block of music. We're going to chat about the game, talk about the gameplay. I've not played Starfield yet, but luckily Kyle has, so he's able to kind of go into the gameplay elements a little bit, talk about what he likes, comparing it to other Bethesda games or Bethesda, you know, game studios games, I should say, the actual internal team at Bethesda. And of course, we do touch on the soundtrack by the wonderful Einar Zur as well, which if you guys missed, he did do, and I think I may have mentioned this on a previous episode when Bedroth was here, but he did do a beautiful rendition of that main theme that we came in to the podcast with at Opening Night Live back at Jeff Keighley's Gamescom show on the, I think it was on the 22nd. Yeah, it was August 22nd. He kicked off the show. If you missed it, I highly recommend going to YouTube, checking that out. Definitely worth listening to and watching. I'm excited, as we'll talk about once Kyle gets in, I'm excited to eventually play Starfield. I have listened when we recorded. I didn't know what 14 tracks were going to be in this episode because I hadn't finished listening to the entire soundtrack yet. I now have, and I'm very excited to hear some of this music get implemented in the game. A lot of it is very atmospheric, very ambient, right? Kind of what you would expect from a game like this. I did try to find some more of the action-oriented pieces that are on the soundtrack for the episode just to give it a little bit more excitement. There's definitely some atmospheric ambient stuff in here as well. I think we have a nice spread. So we're going to listen to 6 tracks, and then Kyle and I will be back to discuss everything that we talk about with Starfield. Then we'll listen to 6 more tracks, and I'll come back to close the episode out. I think that works. I think that sounds like a plan. Okay, let's kick things off by taking a listen to Fleet Scum from Starfield. Everything you're hearing today was composed by Einar Zur. I'm not going to mention that each time. I'll mention it again at the end. And of course, Starfield released on September 6, 2023. I won't say that every time either. Fleet Scum from Starfield. Up next, let's take a listen to First Flight from Starfield. Coming up next, we're going to take a listen to The Soul System from Starfield.
Thank you.
Up next, let's take a listen to New Atlantis from Starfield. Right, as we continue this episode, let's take a listen to Aquila City from Starfield.
Thank you.
Last up in this big block, let's take a listen to Cutthroats from Starfield. All right, and coming back in from our first block there, I know we're doing this episode a little differently, but that's because both Kyle and myself are not super far into Starfield. And I know I'm going to talk a little bit about the music, and I already did, actually, I should say. I'm just recording this out of order at the beginning and the end of the show. But I really wanted to bring Kyle in because I have not touched Starfield yet. I did install it on the Xbox Series, as I talked about a few days ago over on Play on Arrival, if you listen to that podcast as well, where we talked about Starfield a little bit. I did install it, but I have not had a chance to even jump in and create my character yet. I'm trying to get through some other games that I've been talking about, Trails of Cold Steel 3, and then eventually we'll play Sea of Stars before I get into Starfield. But Starfield is on the list and coming up relatively soon. That's probably going to be the game I play after I finish those two that I just mentioned. But, Kyle, you have jumped in and you are several hours now into Starfield. And I want to hear, because we didn't really talk about the gameplay. We didn't really talk about like the story or anything like that over on Play on Arrival. Another Bethesda game, right? It's been a while, been several years since we've had a Bethesda game. Since, was it Fallout 4? Was that? I think that was their last one.
Their last kind of, they did Fallout 76 as well, but
sure, if we count
an online game. And I think I would have been further into Starfield by now if I wasn't, preparing for my new podcast on South Asian fruits named Lychee Mania.
Lychee Mania, nice. Well, I bet that's going to be good. I do like some lychees, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Especially the G Fuel flavor.
Have you ever had a raw lychee?
No, just the G Fuel flavor.
I've had some raw lychees before. They're kind of fun to eat. They're like, you got to like peel that weird little skin off, and then
they're
there's
sweet,
a nut in the middle. Yeah, kind of like a little tart, bitter as well. And there's also like no fruit on it. It's mostly seed and skin, but it's good to like, you just like suck on the seed, get the fruit off and spit the seed out.
Just suck on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a little, I don't know. They're weird. They're really weird looking, and they taste, I don't know. They're fun. They're fun to eat, but it is a Bethesda RPG through and through, man. And I think that's kind of been the heart of the controversy with this game. And a lot of, there's been a lot of weird kind of conversation surrounding this game online about whether or not this is the game people were expecting or wanted or what was promised, and whether or not this is the game that Bethesda advertised, right? Is this what we expected as a community? And I think a lot of people, the answer for that is yes. I think a lot of people knew what to expect going into a Bethesda RPG. We know kind of how this, and they've been building games on this engine for two decades now, and so the engine's been updated. Everybody likes to pretend that this is like some weird Frankenstein spaghetti engine that barely functions, and that's simply untrue. The engine's update and they add new features and stuff, and the engine works. It works and it makes great games and games that sell millions upon millions of copies. And so why wouldn't they kind of, anyways, that soapbox there, but it's been a really fun experience diving back into a Bethesda RPG because it's been so long since we've done that. Like you said, since Fallout 4. And I think for the people that are familiar with Elder Scrolls, familiar with Fallout, this feels like home again, except now we're in space and we're working with, kind of unfamiliar plants and rocks and alien life and planets and spaceships and going to different solar systems. And there's a lot of new systems here that you have to work with. And they don't really spell out how to get through all these systems. You kind of have to do a lot of experimentation with it. But even with all these new systems, it does feel like a Bethesda game. I think for a lot of other people that weren't maybe as familiar with Elder Scrolls and Fallout, this comes as a disappointment for them. I think they were expecting a game to rival what No Man's Sky is now. And No Man's Sky is No Man's Sky, and that's not a Bethesda RPG, right? That's a very different game.
That was a terrible game when it first came out, by the way.
When it released, yes.
Now it's not so much. But
if No Man's Sky released in its current state when it released, I think it would have gotten nines, 9.5s, 10s across the board.
Oh, probably,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think that's what people were expecting. They were expecting a competitor to No Man's Sky, and that's not really what this game is or is supposed to be. This game is very story-focused. There's lots of quests, lots of side quests, lots of different tasks and missions that you can go on. And then there is some exploration. I don't want to say that there's not exploration, and you can actually kind of land on planets wherever you want, but whether or not that planet is interesting...
You can land on any planet, can't you?
Any planet... at any location.
Yeah.
Whether or not there's anything to do there, probably not, you know? And that's kind of the nature of the universe, I guess.
I was going to say, how many planets actually in the universe have shit to do on them?
Exactly.
Not
You'd
many.
Be bored if you landed on them. And so...
Though there are, you do believe, right? And this is a conversation Bedroth and I always love getting off on. There's other life out there, right?
It would blow me away if there wasn't.
Okay. Okay. Just making sure you're
on the... Whether or not they've come
to
Earth. Whether or not they've come
correct,
to Earth is a whole
correct.
Different argument, right?
Correct.
But
Bedroth has a hard time believing in the alien discussions whenever I get into that with him here on the show. But it's just asinine
Texas
to think of how
Christian.
How big
I'm just kidding.
How big the actual universe actually is.
It's massive. There's probably life in the solar system. There's probably other life in the solar system, yes. On the moons of Jupiter or something, there's probably some
whales
sort of,
and shit.
I don't know about whales, Brian, but there's probably some microbial life.
Things like that, you know, under the oceans
things
of,
like
of
that. I mean,
Europa.
Whales is a, right, yes. I think there's probably some microbial life on some of those moons, maybe, but which would be interesting if we do ever get proof of that, you know. Now, Starfield does take a lot of liberties in that way. The aliens are mostly animal type life. And so far I've not encountered like alien humanoids.
So you don't encounter aliens? I'm choking as I say this, by the way. Like Mass Effect? It's not anything similar to that you've come across.
No. I don't think so. I don't think it's like this is my Lieutenant Commander Zorlok from the planet, you know, Nebulon 9. I don't think there's any of that. All of these people, I do believe, are humans.
Okay. May have lost my voice for the rest of this recording. I don't know what just happened.
And unless I know how emotional you get about aliens. So
yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah. I got all choked up and now I can't talk.
but it's been very fun. I think that the locations that I've been to so far have been very, very cool, very fleshed out. And immediately you feel the footprint and the DNA of Bethesda. And I know I keep saying that, right? This is a Bethesda game. But when you're walking around some of these bases, right, you got to go take down this scoundrel who's been messing with the locals. And he, you know, we can't have that. He stole this and we need that back for this experiment or whatever. So you're going to go and you're going to take this job on. And it's this compound on a planet and it's built up kind of funny. And there's hallways and there's doors you got to open and there's stuff scattered all over the place and there's books and plants and apples and you need to, like, you know, you're mousing over everything to see what they are and whether or not you want them. And then there's a safe over there and you're going to lockpick the safe. And then there's a computer and you might use that computer to shut down a camera or a turret or something. And then someone says, "What was that over there?" And then you crouch down, you know, and you hide behind a bookcase. These are all the DNA and common, you know, steps of a Bethesda RPG. It's Fallout and it's Skyrim. You know these things. And so immediately upon jumping into the game, I knew what I was doing. I felt right at home in the first few missions of this game because it just felt absolutely familiar. I'm okay with that. I'm actually thrilled with that because I love the formula. So that was a good thing for me. A lot of other people, I think, are coming into this and like, wait a second, this isn't No Man's Sky, you know, or this, wait a second, this feels just like Fallout. That's like, you know, pump the Fallout directly into my blood.
Yeah, I mean, I think they always said, right, this was Skyrim in space, this was Fallout in space. It was the design that they approached with Starfield. I mean, Bethesda develops, as you said, right? They develop a very specific kind of game, at least the main Bethesda Game Studios team. Right. I know Bethesda does do other games, but their main team, right, the Fallout, Skyrim, and now Starfield team, it's a very specific formula. And yeah, the engine's not perfect, right, like you said, but it's not terrible either.
It's not terrible, and it's usually, you know, a lot of buggy. People like to joke about,
usually very
well, that's
buggy.
The thing. This game is not. Yeah, I've which encountered is a good zero thing. Bugs so far, and most people are reporting the same. Most people are saying, no, I don't have many bugs. Now, there have been some performance issues specifically on PC. I'm playing it on Xbox and have had zero performance issues so far. But it feels okay to me. It feels like what I wanted. No bugs so far. Maybe, you know, maybe lighter on exploration than a lot of people wanted. That's the one thing that I can really say, okay, well, there's a deviation from the Bethesda formula here, because Skyrim and Fallout, you get into these worlds and as soon as the game starts, it opens up to you, right?
Sure.
Think about Fallout 3 and 4, you open up that vault and your character,
and you can go anywhere. You go any direction.
Your arm over your eyes as the sun shines directly in your eyes and you think, oh, you know, and then you step out and the world is,
I mean, just
vast.
Think about Oblivion or Skyrim too, dude. You like leave those areas and then it's like, all right, which
exactly,
way do you want to go,
yeah.
Sort of a thing.
Exactly. So
Starfield seems more contained in where
it is,
it's
more
directing
contained.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is more contained, entering and exiting cities or different areas of the cities even. There's a small loading screen there. And so you're going into different parts of the map. It's not as open and vast as as those games were.
Been to New Atlantis yet?
Yes, I've been to New Atlantis.
So that's relatively early in the game. That's relatively early.
You get to New Atlantis, and that's kind of where you start to find out what this... What the main mission is going to entail for you in this game. That's when you start to get some exposition. You join this group of folks who are after this, and I'm speaking in very broad terms here, but they're after these materials that you've been finding, and they think that they might point to a very, very either kind of religious type origin story or maybe a nefarious plot of sorts, right? And so they think, we need to get these things, and we just started finding them, and now we know where the next one is. You need to go get it for us, right? Because you're the cool guy with the spaceship. So
the Mr. Cool Guy?
You're the Mr. Cool Guy with the spaceship. So go get that for us. Now, the spaceship part of the game is actually pretty interesting, and I think this was a lot different than I was expecting it to be. Number one, the spaceship is entirely customizable in this game, and there's pre-built spaceships that you can buy.
Are you
going to
spend as much time doing this as you did with your
already
mechs and armor core?
Have, Brian. Are you kidding me?
You're going to have a pink, purple, already. And yellow spaceship flying around
right
the universe?
Right now it's brown and green. But it's, you can customize all the colors. You can even take apart the different components of the spaceship and put them in kind of any arrangement that you want, as long as it's functional. And then there's a test button. Will this spaceship fly? If not, it says no, try again. So you can pull apart these, spaceships and build kind of the spaceship you want to have. Or you can buy these pre-built spaceships or pre-built components and add them onto your spaceship. You can go online and see the ones that people have made. Again, some really goofy creations that people are getting into. Someone found out that the AI of spaceships, the enemy spaceships, when you encounter them, while orbiting planets or whatever, they aim for the center of your spacecraft. And your spacecraft has a model. It averages all the mass of the model, I guess, and it places a center point of the spaceship. Somebody found out that's how the AI is aiming when they fire at you, right? And that's probably, coding-wise, really smart, right? Just aim for the center, And then you give them different accuracy values, whatever. So people have been building square spaceships with an empty middle, and all of the bullets are just passing directly through the spaceship without hitting it. So that's been kind of a funny meme that like people are doing, like, can't hit me, and all the bullets are just going right through the middle, the hole that they build in the spaceship. It's been pretty funny. I haven't spent too much time in like totally dismantling my spaceship. I've played around with the colors a little bit and made it look different. But taking off from planets and landing on planets is a loading screen. You're not manually taking off and manually loading. Once you're in space, you can fly around, do what you want. You might find some space stations. You might find some pirate ships that are after you or other ships, and you can engage in combat with them. And there's a trait that you can pick up where you can board those ships. If you take them down, right, you can kind of get on the destroyed spaceship and loot whatever you want on there. Otherwise, it'll just drop some loot in space and you can go pick those up as well. And then you open up your star map, find where you want to go, and zoom. It kind of does that Star Trek kind of whip around thing, the light.
Yeah.
And away you go, and you're right there, and then you can land. So there's not a ton of space exploration either, but you do have this kind of Rogue Squadron type gameplay where you're fighting against other ships as well, and that's been pretty fun so far also.
I loved those games on the GameCube too, Rogue Squadron and Rogue Leader. I thought they were phenomenal. So obviously right here, BG Mania, we talk about the music as well. The music was all composed by Einan Zur, who also who also did work for Bethesda on, I think he did work on some of the Elder Scrolls. He did work on some of the Fallout, specifically did Fallout 76 by himself, Fallout 4 by himself. Also did Fallout New Vegas, I think. I think he's primarily more Fallout than Elder Scrolls. He did Fallout 3 by himself.
Yeah, Jeremy Soule was Skyrim, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then I think he may have contributed a few things to some of the Elder Scrolls games, but Einan Zur really definitely has been Fallout for, he did the Elder Scrolls Blades, which was the iOS, Android, and Switch game Einan Zur did. But back with Bethesda for Starfield, even did the opening performance at Jeff Keighley's opening night live at Gamescom, right? He was on the Roland piano doing the main theme for Starfield, which was absolutely gorgeous. From what I've listened to, I've gone through about 75% of the soundtrack. By the time this episode posts, I will have gone through 100% of the soundtrack to see what 14 tracks will actually make this playlist today. It's been very much what I expected the music to Starfield to sound like. Right? Very space exploration, not necessarily like space opera. There's not too much rock or anything like that. Very ambient in certain areas, very atmospheric. But from what I've heard, and I have no knowledge of where these tracks take place outside of just kind of guessing based on some of the names, right? Some of the areas definitely have a bit of a feel to them. Like there's an icy feel or a more dangerous feel. I think the New Atlantis theme is actually really cool. That one probably will make the episode.
Yeah.
But the music to me has been very enjoyable to listen to and to zone out to and to just put on in the background while I'm working on some other things or actually working, because it's not distracting either.
Correct. Yeah. And it's, you're right. It does kind of have this ambient quality to it where it feels like you're exploring, right? It feels like you were just part of this endless world that you can go out and do. And there's a lot of freedom in this game. You can kind of go out and do and see as you please. The game doesn't limit you that way. And so I remember the first trailer that came out for this game, you know, the first kind of cinematic trailer that had, you know, the character talking like, you know, we reached for the stars because, you know, we couldn't stay here. And now, you know, we are everywhere, but you can go anywhere and blah, blah, blah. And it's got this, you know, these like long drawn out notes that just feel very grand, very epic in scope. And a lot of the tracks do kind of play out that way when you're walking around the planets. This still is, even though it's not as open world as the other games, it still is a game that is based on exploration and finding your way around and going to different places and experience this huge, massive universe that they've created. This game encourages that and wants you to do that through the side quests and the activities and missions. So the music is very, almost takes a back seat to the visuals, but they do complement each other very well so far in my experience.
Yeah, and there are 8. I'm looking at the soundtrack now. There's Exploration 1, Home Planets. Exploration 2, The Hills and the Mountains. Exploration 3, Explorers Club. Exploration 4, Vulcanism. Exploration 5, Evergreen. Exploration 6, Strange Sands. Exploration 7, The Icelands. And then Exploration 8, The Far Reaches. I'm not going to play any of those on the episode today because they're all anywhere from 9 to like 17 minutes long.
Right.
I feel like these are either the tracks that play when you're flying in the ship, like moving to the different planets if you choose to actually fly there, or maybe the music that plays on certain planets, because it's all very atmospheric and very ambient. I don't know if you have any idea of what those tracks are or if you've experienced any of them yet. The first one is 16 tracks deep into the soundtrack, so you might not even be far enough yet to have heard one of those. Have you actually flown your ship from one planet to another?
Yes. I've gone to a few different planets so far, but not like just flown it there. I use the star map.
Okay, so that's what I was saying. You use the star map, which kind of, does it fast travel you or port you to that area?
Yeah.
But from what I understand, you can just choose to fly there.
You can. It just takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to do.
Didn't somebody fly from, like, what did they fly from? Earth to Pluto?
It was Mars to Pluto, maybe.
Okay.
And
that took them how long?
Like 9.5 hours.
And that's real time.
Correct.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Absurd insane.
I think they left it on and then went to sleep and woke up and finished the next morning.
Why did they make it so long, I wonder? Because, I mean, I guess it's realistic.
Yeah, it's realistic.
Well,
and so
not realistic. It would take fucking years.
Exactly, yeah.
It's hundreds years of years to do that.
The vastness and emptiness of space, I think, is kind of incomprehensible. But there is a... There would be something great, right, if you could get in your spaceship and like super fast travel but still steer, right? You know, like you are like light speeding around and you're like zooming by planets or moons or meteors, whatever. I think that would be pretty neat as well. But also maybe would have gotten old over time. So I think that fast travel was probably the best option for just cohesive gameplay. But then again, I can't say how No Man's Sky done it. I've never done No Man's Sky. I've never played No Man's Sky, so I can't say how they've
done
it either.
From what I remember, and I played the early bits of No Man's Sky, it didn't take that long to fly from one planet to another.
Sure, yeah. So maybe, I think that's what people wanted, maybe. You know, again, I think that's what people were used to. After the last 6 years of playing No Man's Sky,
sure,
that's what people were expecting, maybe.
Yeah, that's possible. I think I would probably utilize the fast travel in Starfield when I start playing, just because, like, I don't have hours upon hours, though I probably will try to fly from, like, one planet. Maybe I'll go, like, Earth to Mars or something to see how long that takes.
Sure, sure.
But that's also a little disappointing, I will say, because I think one of the cool things about a game like Mass Effect, even though you aren't really flying your ship from planet to planet in Mass Effect, you are more or less jumping through the relays and going about the different systems that way, which is very similar to, it sounds like, how Starfield is set up.
Right.
It's still cool, like, being able to see and get up close and personal with all of the different planets. Now,
oh, definitely, yeah.
Any of the planets that you've gone to or that you've flown by or near, do they have moons that are also visible?
Some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Some of them have moons that, one of the first missions you
can
go to
you
is
land
on a moon.
On the moons? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So one of the first missions you go to has you going to a base to retrieve something from somebody, and it's a Fallout style mission. You get into their base and you work your way from bottom to top, and there's raiders along. I think they're even called raiders, just like they were in Fallout. And I think they're called space pirates, actually. And
space raiders.
Yeah, something like that. And you work your way from bottom to top until you get out there, and then there's an exit. You get some gear at the end. You got your item. Boom, back to the ship. So, but that was on a moon, I believe. And so there's all sorts of different things to see and do in space. It's not that the space is totally empty. It's whether or not you can, you know, do anything in it, I guess.
Right.
In the
image. Or anything meaningful, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Is there a mission there? Is there something to find? Or is it
correct,
just...
yeah.
A barren wasteland that you land on and you can't even get any resources from.
Well, most of the time too, you can scan a planet before you land on it, see what resources.
Okay, so that's
are
very Mass Effect then. That's very Mass Effect.
Yeah, you can see what sorts of resources you can expect to find on that planet, and also whatever points of interest might be on that planet are also on the map as well. So once you scan the planet, it says, "All right, there's a city here, there's a mining base here, and an outpost here."
So can you? Are you scanning the full planet and it tells you what part of the planet those things are on?
Correct, yes.
Okay, cool.
So
it's
when
not
you
like
go
you
to
have
land,
to guess.
Yeah, when you go to land, you land at one of those places.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool. That was, again, very similar to Mass Effect, but each planet only had very specific areas you could land. You couldn't choose to land wherever.
Right.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Right. This one, you can land wherever. It's just whether or not there's anything to do there.
How many planets have you went to that actually had some sort of life on them?
Well, I've only gone to the planets that the missions have directed me towards.
Okay, so they've all had life, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So I've been to like four or five different planets so far, and it's based on what they've told me to do. I've not been like super like, all right, let's go out. We're going to go out to this solar system, this planet at this spot. Let's go. You know, and see what we can find. I haven't done any of that yet. I do. I think I will eventually because
yeah,
just to see.
Yeah, just to see what's out there.
But again, if
just
it's
if there's
it's
a just, thousand planets, right?
Yeah. If it's barren, oh well.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Move
with
on.
Yeah.
Move on. But yeah, there are a thousand ish planets in Starfield. A lot to explore. So that's kind of cool, and definitely, you know, for completionists, I think this game says it takes over 200 hours. That is a lot to check out. Damn it, I'm sneezing. That is a lot to check out in a game.
Get so emotional talking about these planets. These
I know.
Aliens,
I know.
Space,
I know.
Final Frontier. speaking of the Final Frontier, did you see this Star Trek game that like started getting advertised out of nowhere?
Maybe.
It looks really good. I can't. It's like a strategy game, like Fire Emblem.
Maybe I haven't seen that one. I know there was a Star Trek game that just came out that was like a Telltale style choose your own adventure, right?
Yeah.
Not that long ago?
Star Trek Resurgence was that.
Yeah,
one.
That's what it was called. Yeah.
Star Trek Infinite? Is that what it's called?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Hold on.
Star Trek Infinite. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, this game looks freaking sweet. By
comes
Paradox.
Out in October.
These are the guys. It's not Fire Emblem. I said that. It's the guys that made Stellaris, I believe.
Yeah,
it looks pretty sweet, man. It's like a space
battle game. Nimble Giant Entertainment. They made Quantum League, Champions of Regnum, Bunch of Heroes. I don't know. I don't really know any of them. Paradox is the publisher. They've published a lot of things. I mean, they published City Skylines. So
yeah. This is a sim strategy game. Managing your spaceship, the crews of the spaceship, and space battles and civilization style, except space battle type thing. So if you're familiar with Stellaris, that's what this is.
Yeah, and I know you're a big Star Trek fan, so.
I love Star Trek.
That might be right up your alley.
Honestly, it might be. And people are saying it looks good, so I don't know.
Yeah. I know once I start playing Starfield, I'm going to just be itching for more BioWare and Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Because that's my space game of choice. And BioWare's in such a tough spot right now, right? Like, they've been developing Dragon Age Dreadwolf now for 5+ years, and we're still, I feel like, no closer to seeing that than we were 3 years ago.
Sure.
Though hopefully, I mean, maybe it comes out next year. There's a chance it could. And I do think they will return to Mass Effect after this Dragon Age game, but still, that's going to be another fucking 7, 8, 9 years before we see another Mass Effect entry. I know this is going to make me want to another one just because of how much of a disappointment Mass Effect Andromeda was in the overall. Doesn't sound like Starfield's going to be a disappointment.
Not so. Space, but remember, we do have CP2077.
Yeah, we do have Cyberpunk coming out end of this month, and I know we've not actually played. You and I both never played the base game of Cyberpunk 2077, so...
Not past a couple hours, no.
Yeah, actually, I think that's all I did, too, was like the first 2 hours, and then I wasn't really liking it because it was really early when the game came out, and it was in a rough state.
Right.
Now it's way better, just like No Man's Sky is, and the expansion that's coming out, Phantom Liberty, is that what it's called, is adding a bunch of stuff to it, and just, oh man, it looks so good. I can't wait to finally jump into that. But yeah, Starfield sitting at a 91 on Open Critic. Is it still
in
the 90s?
Holy smokes, it's gone up quite a bit. It was like an 87 last
year. 87, okay. It was in the 90s when I last looked, but it's probably been a week and a half since I've looked.
It's at
87 right now. I actually just pulled it up. But still, that's a respectable score and a very strong 2077. 2077. Nope, it's 2023. That, Baldur's Gate 3 at a 96, Tears of the Kingdoms at a 96, Resident Evil at a 92, Street Fighter at a 92, Sea of Stars at an 89. It's been a hell of a year, man.
There's
been so many mid to high to low to mid to high 90s this year. It's been crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's not stopping.
We've got more to go.
Spider-Man 2 next month. Alan Wake 2 next month.
Super
I think
Mario
both of those
Wonder.
Games. Are, yeah, that all three of those games are going to score really high. Super Mario RPG Remake will score really high. There's a chance that Mortal Kombat 1 has a chance to come in really high because, dude, that game just looks so good.
I think it will.
It's so good. There's so many more good games coming out this year. I just don't know how we can do it. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed's been... I don't know about that one.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's a big game.
It's a big game, but that one doesn't look nearly as good as Origins,
Avatar
Odyssey,
still
or
coming out?
Valhalla. It is in December. Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking forward to that. Dan's looking forward to Modern Warfare 3 in November.
Oh boy.
The story will be good. Those games are always, they all have good campaigns, but that's all that it is for me as a campaign game. All right, man, anything else to say on Starfield before we get on out of here?
No, I'm going to go play it, I think. Okay. All this talk about it makes me want to go sit down and play it.
Okay, gonna give up on football and the red zone and watching the fantasy points and go
Justin
check out
Fields
some Starfield.
Isn't doing anything.
Yeah, he just almost got sacked.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, they're not. The Bears aren't doing too hot. They're not doing terrible.
Episode of Leechy Mania. That's what
Leechy Mania. Get episode 2 done and ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming in and chatting about Starfield with me here to break up the episode so it wasn't just all music today. I'm sure I'll let you guys know when I actually start playing it myself, what I think on it, maybe in the next few weeks. Hopefully, it won't take me too much longer to get through Trails of Cold Steel 3 and Sea of Stars. But Starfield's coming up for me. I can't wait.
Yep, get into it.
I can't wait. I will. All right, Kyle. Thanks again for coming in, and you'll be back next month, actually, for a bonus episode. Can't wait for that. that.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
All right. We're now going to continue our block of six tracks by taking a listen to Field of Vision from Starfield. Again, everything you're hearing today released on September 6, 2023, and everything was composed by Einan Zur.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Up next, let's take a listen to The New Old Frontier from Starfield. Coming up next, we're going to take a listen to Heliosphere from Starfield.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Death and Crimson from Starfield. Up next, we'll be taking a listen to Stars and Sacrifice from Starfield.
Thank you.
Closing us out before we close the episode out, let's take a listen to Aurora from Starfield. Right. I hope you guys enjoyed this dive into the Starfield soundtrack and the discussion that Kyle and I had centered around the game earlier in the episode. I will say the Starfield soundtrack is a 79. I was going to say 179. Had my head on the Sea of Stars soundtrack there for a second, but the Starfield soundtrack, Too Many Stars, is 79 tracks in length. So there's plenty more out there to go and check out and explore. I highly encourage you to do so. It is all great. Again, Einenzer really killed this one and knocked it out of the park. I am excited, as mentioned, to get into the game. Encourage you to do so as well, especially if you have Game Pass, since it is available through Game Pass to check out. But if you don't have Game Pass, feel free to pick it up. It's gotten great reviews. Got to be doing something right. But unfortunately, that is going to bring us to the close of the show for this week. We do want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to another episode of BG Mania, made possible, of course, by RPGera.com. If you like video game music, and more importantly, you like us and you want to help us grow the show, check the description box for ways you can do just that, including a link to join our Discord community. Click it, join it, and interact with us. Taking us out of the episode, we're going to be taking a listen to A Home in the Galaxy from Starfield. Again, everything today released on September 6th of 2023, and everything was composed by Einenzer. Keep the music playing and keep it loud.